The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right. First weekend in April. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. Certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. Essentially,
we help
this is our day job, being financial advisors, but we're here on the weekends to help you with things that you've got going on in your financial life. And
even this beautiful weekend before Easter, the day before Easter.
Oh, that's right. It's Easter
tomorrow.
Which is usually a good time, people with family and all that stuff.
Yeah. So you have a family?
We're doing it kind of small this year, actually. And my daughter's home from college, which is nice. And she's changed now that she's been away for a while.
Yeah, she?
Yeah, she somehow enjoys me, which is kind of nice. And it'll be with my mom and stepdad.
Maybe
it'll
I should send
group.
All my kids away.
Yeah.
Well. So who's your daughter and who else?
I don't.
Your parents?
Let's get on with the financial program.
Oh, we got to catch up on personal stuff. Your parents? Come on.
I haven't
on.
Seen you in a few days. What? Yes, my mom, stepdad, and my wife, myself, and we're going to church, and then we're going to out to a brunch at a restaurant.
Well, that'll be nice.
Because my wife's been out of town, and she says, I really don't feel like hosting a bunch of people this Easter. And I've got to leave early Monday morning for out of town. So I see my wife for 24 hours, and she didn't want to. It sounded sexist that she's doing the cooking. I didn't want to cook either, so. Anyway. This program is talking about financial matters and family issues along the holidays.
Which normally coincide, coincidentally.
It is amazing how finances can cause such challenges and disruptions in relationships.
Either because either parents are expected to support children or children are expected to support parents.
Or people want to spend more.
Or someone wants to borrow or...
It gets just really complicated.
Or how to save for retirement. I met with a couple this week. It was quite interesting. He had absolutely no interest in saving for retirement and she was all about saving for retirement. And well, I said, there's a happy medium.
It's a good thing he didn't marry someone like himself.
Yeah.
Retirement would never happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some of the money issues that marriages have, relationships have, I think there's ways to work around those things. I know one of the things that we've done with a lot of our clients over the years is kind of help talk through those, be some sort of, not mediators in a sense of.
But you've done some mediation.
Well, yeah. I'll never forget one time a couple came in and they were looking at, I forget which one was looking at retiring. And, I asked how long you've been married. They said, oh, we're not married. We've been living together for 28 years or something like that. And just jokingly, I said, when are you going to make her an honest woman? Right? Like joking. I was joking, trying to be folksy or something. When are you going to make her an honest woman? And maybe I was a little bold.
Yeah, it might be a little bit.
I think it was the first time I met them. When are you going to make her an honest woman? And 2 weeks later, they say, we took your advice. What advice was that? And she shows me the swing. We got married. And I said, whoa, that wasn't necessarily my advice. I don't know if you should have or not.
Well, after 28 years.
Yeah, and they're
probably still happily married. Or not.
I'm trying to remember exactly the couple was. But
you just remember
in any case,
the story.
No marital advice, but we do give clearly
financial.
Some counsel on. And oftentimes, couples will be talking about some finance. There'll be some disagreements. And then I think one of the crucial things is to have some of those discussions ahead of time before money is spent or money is invested, just to say, get on. So there's some least understanding. I know when my wife and I were first married, our budget was very tight back in the day. And I forget, I think it was you couldn't spend more than $100 without talking to each other.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that would break the budget. I mean, if one of us went out and spent a couple $100 on new clothes or something, there wasn't.
Yeah.
It broke. So that was our limit back when we first got married. And
I don't remember if we had any rules like that.
No.
I know now that I'm not allowed to make investments without discussing them with my wife.
I'm not allowed to discuss them with my wife.
Oh, I'm not. My wife is very involved in, Scott knows, but many of you don't. My wife, by an education, is an accountant. And so it is tracked.
Well, my wife has a degree in finance. That's why I met her in finance class.
But that's different than an accountant.
Three women and 30 guys, and being a heterosexual man, there was only, I had three options, and she was one of the three.
Okay, so that was the biggest.
No, finance. I had to stick with what I knew.
Well, you're three options, right? I mean, that was the largest pool. You only had 33 kids in this school? No, but the finance and accounting are completely different subjects.
Well, there's some difference. I had this conversation with my kids last night. That's interesting. But the point is, my wife has a degree in finance. Really doesn't want to.
She gets it, though. She understands it. She just doesn't want to be involved.
Thank you. That's exactly right. Any case, the program here is talking about your finances.
Yeah, and we take calls. We should give out our phone number at some point in time.
If you want to join the program, 921-1530 is the number. Again, 916-921-1530. And toll free, it's 1-800-834-1530. You can also go to our website, moneymatters.com, and while you're there, you can click
talk to Scott and Pat.
Something along. There's something there. Not quite sure.
You click on it, and it says talk to Scott.
We're going to talk, this program, we're going to talk about some things to do between now and April 15th.
Regarding your finances.
Go for a walk, and the daffodils are still a couple weeks left. Regarding finances, things to do prior to April 15th, because that date is coming, and some people I know have already filed their taxes, and some people have.
I know I have to do a couple things.
I spent some time a week ago. Fortunately, my CPA is good at pinging me. When am I going to get this? When am I going to get that? And I got all the.
You got it together?
Most of it's together. I always file an extension.
I need to fund my non-deductible IRA and then convert it to a Roth.
We'll talk about
Did I lose the keys? Did I give it away too early?
No, there's some good strategies. People that are a little technique. If you can't do a Roth IRA.
How to actually get money into the Roth IRA. Which, by the way, is just crazy that we have this rule that you have to jump through a couple hoops to get to the same place.
Well, isn't our whole tax code that way? And
yeah,
it's amazing to me how many people never really take the time to do planning when it comes to their taxes. We see it all the time. People at retirement who are taking income from the wrong sources, paying more taxes than they need to. People planning ahead of it. They're a couple years ahead of retirement. You think you just do this small tweak. You change these couple things here. You're going to save a boatload on taxes, not only while you're working, but at retirement time. And I'm amazed how often people will go to see an accountant, and the accountant, I just saw this too. What was it? I was furious about it. I don't even remember what it was now. Their accountant was encouraging them to make IRA contributions, and their income was such that they were still working. Their income was such that they had a lot of money. I remember exactly what it was. They had a lot of money set aside for retirement. They're going to retire in like 2 years. And their income was such that they were just below where the 15% tax bracket went to the 28% tax
bracket.
Their accountant had been telling them to make deductible IRA contributions.
Okay.
And I said, and we did the projections when they retire, they were just a few years away from being.
Oh, their income would be higher?
Oh, they were just a few years away from being 70 and a half. And we looked at what the required minimum distributions were. I said, you are going to be squarely into the 25.
You should have been making Roth contributions.
And Roth conversion, which is what we are going to be doing now.
Was it an accountant or was it an enrolled agent? There's a difference.
It was not a tax planner. How's that?
Okay, because people will say, my accountant, but they're not, they're tax
preparers.
There are
probably some great enrolled agents who do some wonderful tax planning.
I am not going to discount that.
And there's probably some CPAs.
Although I just did.
You did.
They weren't accountants. They were enrolled agents.
There's probably some fantastic enrolled agents who are good at doing tax planning. I know some. And then there are some CPAs that do no tax planning. They just account for what's happened in the past.
And what you want is tax planning. If it's somewhat complicated, even a little.
Yeah, and so now everyone's tax is on their mind, so we'll talk a little bit about some things that you need to be thinking about before April 15th. And, of course, we'll take your calls, answer your questions regarding things in the world of finance. And there's also, I saw, there's some interesting studies I saw this last week that...
you want to review those?
Well, maybe.
There's nothing better radio than reviewing a study.
Yeah. Let me find this big, fat study. We're going to go through it step by step, the 82 points in the study. Remember when Mitt Romney was running? He had the... How many points did he have for his to get the economy back on track? There were so many points, I'm like...
Too many.
It's always the six steps to this, to the four steps to the...
George Bush Sr. had 1,000 points to life.
Okay, well, that was just the 1,000.
George Bush Jr. had the axis of evil. There were three.
Three, see? Three.
Easy.
It's usually 10 or less,
easy.
Right? It's the simple step is the 12-step program. If it was like 28 steps,
no one would do it.
Anyway, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start taking some of your calls. 921-1530 is the program to be on Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you are part of the program this weekend. 921-1530 is the number to join us.
My my son's home from college. He goes to college in outside of Denver, a little town outside of Denver. And
living the dream?
He says quite interesting. Quite interesting.
Interesting? What does that mean?
He said coming from, now remember, he's college campus.
We will get to you callers here in just a moment.
College campus. He is a pretty conservative guy, I would say. My son is. But he goes to a school where there are many...
non-conservatives. It's a college, for crying out loud.
So
my kid's getting all liberal.
So he says, they go to get in the car, and he has to ask everyone every time, does anyone have any marijuana on you? Because if he gets pulled over and there's marijuana in the car, they're all under 21, he gets in trouble. And he said marijuana is everywhere.
Of course, they legalized it.
But not for someone under 21.
I know, but when the whole society says it's fine to have.
But he said that there's a big fear. His big fear is he gets pulled over. They find marijuana in his car. He's going to get in trouble because someone else has it. So he asked everyone.
He's just setting you up, Pat, for when he gets busted.
You see, he might
It's the old, it's not mine, it's my friend's.
He's not. Thanks for that, Scott.
I'm just kidding. I had a friend like 4 years ago. Yeah, my son, he's in big trouble because he was carrying his friend's marijuana. He was in high school.
Oh, really?
I'm like,
come on.
Sue, are you kidding me?
He was carrying his
friend's. Her name wasn't Sue. I said, it's not his friend's marijuana.
Yeah.
Why would you, if you didn't use this stuff, why would you
carry it?
We're way off a different topic. We don't want to have this topic. Let's go to the calls and have...
I was just pointing out that it
unintended consequences of the law. I'm sure this wasn't the plan for a bunch of college kids to be smoking pot. Because they would never be doing it if the law was illegal to smoke the pot.
Never.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the calls. Let's talk to Jim. Jim, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Jim. What can we do for you?
Good. I've got a couple questions concerning retirement soon.
Okay.
And my numbers are like I've got about 650 in my 401k.
Okay.
And I've got 200 or so in... various investments.
Okay.
And 100K in like savings and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I get a pension if I retire next year of about $4,500 a month.
Wow, that's nice.
And I'm just wondering and I think I've got my bills kind of hammered out a little bit to where I'm spending about $26,000 a year in just, insurance and property taxes.
What do you, Jim, what is your income now?
It's over 100.
Okay.
Probably 110 or so.
So here's...
How old are you, Jim?
I'm 50. I'll be 57 this year.
And so what's your question for us? Do you have enough money to retire?
Yeah. I don't want to retire too soon and be eating cat food when I'm 80.
We'll give you some guidelines right here, but I'm going to encourage you to go to our website, moneymatters.com, and download this piece we call it the 7 personal decision points. And the idea behind the 7 personal decision points is to answer this question.
Right. Yeah, and see, the thing, Jim, most people would like to maintain their same standard of living at a minimum in retirement, if not be able to increase it some. So
I agree.
I it's certainly a healthy thing for you to go through and say, all right, what do I actually need to live on, right? So you figure that I need $26,000 a year.
But the reality is, the reality is, if you make $100,000, how much is the percentage of your pay are you putting into your 401k?
Right now?
Yeah.
20% plus the makeup.
Okay. So, and then you're putting in 7.65% into Social Security and Medicare. So that's $27,650.
Are you contributing to the 457 and 401k?
Just a 401k.
Okay, but you're doing the catch-up, so you're doing the 20...
Yeah, the catch-up. Yeah.
So right now what we know is, from what you've told us now, is that you're living on about $73,000 a year.
I think his income was $110,000.
Okay, so about $80,000 a year. And you say you need $26,000.
How much more have you saved the last couple of years other places?
How much what?
How much money do you save on a monthly basis?
Anywhere else?
None. $1,000 a month or something like that. I mean, I'm single, so I get taxed pretty heavy.
So let's say it was even $80,000 a year is what your income was before. That's after you take out what's being forced to pay into Social Security and Medicare, and what you're saving in your 401k. It brings you down to around $80,000 a year. Okay, so that's what currently you've got coming in and paying income taxes on. Your pension is going to make up $52,000 a year.
And then if you took a 4% distribution from your 401k, your investments, and your savings, that would make $38,000 a year. So that's, those two together, you're $90,000 a year.
It's more than you've got now.
You are very, very, very comfortable to retire. Very comfortable.
And that's without the Social Security and...
You have 57. You know. You're not eligible for Social Security yet.
Right. What age do you recommend I start drawing that at the maximum? I heard you guys talk one time that if you didn't need the money, to go ahead and start taking it.
I don't actually. I would defer the decision on that until you were eligible.
Yeah.
Really, all the way to.
So that's a good question. If you were talking to us today and you were 62 and you were retired, having a pension coming in of $4,500 a month. And close to $1 million in other savings. If it were me, I would probably take the Social Security. If you were married, it could impact things. But if it were me, I'd probably take the Social Security as soon as possible. Reduce what I'm taking out of my retirement accounts at the same time. The thing is, first of all, you have to, number one, live to a normal life expectancy.
So we need to know what. Like your habits are like, how long your parents lived, or brothers or sisters, did they die early? I actually would probably, I would actually kick it right to the middle between.
Age 66, 67, whatever the normal,
Yeah.
I think I'm 67.
I would defer, I wouldn't even worry about the decision right now. But what we know is, from the information you gave us now, in saying all this, if your money's in a 401k, you may or may not want to roll that into an IRA, or you may want to roll part of it into an IRA and leave some of it in the 401k in order to take distributions.
I thought you had to take it out on when you left your job.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, because you're age 57, if you roll this money into an IRA, the only way you can start distributions on it prior to age 59 and a half is to set up a series of substantially equal distributions that last for at least 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would counter that by saying, so here's the difference in the rule. If you're 55 or older in the year in which you separate from service and the money's in a 401k, it's completely liquid. It's taxable, but there's no penalties. So if you were sitting in my office today, I might leave $100,000 of that or $200,000 of that 401k where it's at, roll the rest into an IRA, and start the distribution from the 401k. That way you have a lot more flexibility with that distribution.
So I can start taking a distribution from my 401k on the at 57?
Yes. Okay. But you can't on an IRA unless you set it up for a period of five years. And so that's where, listen, the reality is, I met with a guy once years ago, and he said to me, I explained this to him, I said, this is why you want to leave. He said, you're the fifth advisor I've met with. You're wrong. No one else has mentioned this. And I said, let me tell you how we get paid. We get paid to manage money. And when I tell you to leave it someplace else, we don't manage it.
Right.
But the reality is that he ended up leaving a little bit of money in the 401k to get him to age 59 and a half because he wanted the professional management and the advice that comes with the services we offer. So in your situation, I wouldn't worry so much that you had enough money to retire because you have more than enough. What I would look at is how I'm going to take the distributions. Yep. Let me ask you one other question.
Year by year, really.
Do you owe any money on your home?
No, it's paid for.
Okay, perfect. You are, and you have children?
They're all grown up
okay.
And doing well.
So one of the things you would look at is to see if your trust was properly in place and then beneficiary designations.
On your retirement account.
But if you go to our website, moneymatters.com, and download the ebook, 7 Personal Decision Points, it will actually kind of walk you through what we just did, which is how much money do I need? How much money do I need to replace, right?
And we like to look at it with replacement, not covering our needs.
Correct.
Because
what you don't want is your standard of living to go down in retirement. You might decide to work another year or two in order to keep the same standard of living.
Or you might decide to have a go. Some people say I'd rather quit early and have a lower standard of living.
It's their decision.
Yes, of course.
So download the book.
I've been doing what I'm doing for 30 years, and I would like to try something different maybe at the last.
So let me ask you this, Jim. So from financial plan standpoint, we think you're in good shape. I think it's where you're calling. As Pat said, it's one thing we need to watch as you retire is making sure you're taking how you take that extra money. So the pension is going to provide a good portion of your income. The next is in its long-term planning. We were talking before about sometimes accountants will have you do whatever's the most expedient thing that's going to reduce your taxes this year, but we need to look at what's going to happen throughout when Social Security kicks in, what's going to happen when required minimum distributions happen, those sort of things. But the bigger question I have, Pat, Jim, is you've been doing the same job 30 years. What are your plans once you retire? If last Friday was your last day.
Would you go out and get another job? Would you go fishing? You want to move to a hut somewhere in the Himalayas? What are your plans?
No hut. probably go fishing and stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you plan on going back to work part time, or do you work for?
I don't really want to.
Okay.
Just spend time with the grandkids mostly. That'd be my dream.
Are your grandkids around town?
Yeah, they're kind of local.
That makes it easy.
If you were sitting in our office today and you gave us this information, you're able to retire. I could confidently say, hey, any day you want. You just need to put in the last little bit of work to figure out how you're going to take the distributions with as much flexibility as possible.
That seems to be the tricky part of the distributions and avoiding, all the taxes that you have to pay.
Yeah, well, and managing the money correctly.
Jim, it's tricky for you because you've never done it before.
You're right, yeah. Well, that's kind of the scary part, too, because you don't want to make the wrong decision, take the wrong money out of somewhere, and, then you...
I have a feeling you're going to do fine, Jim. The reason you got these dollars saved is because you've been prudent, thinking ahead. And quite frankly, here you are. You're planning on retiring next year. You had called this program before the show had started, which means that you were planning ahead. I have a feeling you're going to be you'll do fine. I could just tell by your personality. So we wish you well, Jim. Good luck to you. And it sounds like an exciting time in life. And I tell you, very fortunate to have the grandkids live in the same community because I know, Pat, some of the times, part of our financial planning for people in retirement is having some money in the budget to go visit the grandkids.
Travel costs, yes.
Yeah, and it's usually to go to see family. And sometimes, you might find this hard to believe, sometimes it's not that comfortable to actually go and stay with the family. You need to figure in some additional costs to go stay at a hotel close by as well.
Yeah.
Because those are the kind of things that we all tend to think through at retirement time. Anyway, 921-1530. We have time for, lots of time. Well, we've got a couple more lines open if you want to join the program.
Yeah, we have time for that.
That's what I was misspoke.
Okay.
It happens sometimes. Misspeaking. Misspoke.
Okay.
No.
All right.
9-2. But my point is we've got time if you'd like
If you want to call in and you want us to help answer a question or you have a comment or a concern, 921-1530.
That was much better.
All right. I know.
All right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break for the news here from the lovely Caitlin Lewis, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Scott McClain.
Thanks for being part of the program today with us.
I like that last call. But Jim, I like that.
Well, it's always easier when somebody is
prepared and ready. Yeah, then.
It's, of course, some of the easy ones.
Like you get to take
the layups.
Yeah, you get to take credit for someone else's work.
I helped a lot of people in retirement. All right, let's take 921-1530. Let's talk to Jerry. Jerry, you're with Hanson McClain.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, Jerry.
Enjoy your show.
Hey, thank you.
In January, you were talking about how easy it was to freeze your credit with, the credit agencies. And I called in, but it was too late for you to answer. Can you kind of explain that?
I answered the question. I remember this because I actually got a couple phone calls in the office the following week, and someone wanted to know how it's done, and it was easy for me. I just said to my wife, I think we should freeze our credit. And then it happened.
Can I contact the wife?
Yeah, you can.
And explain it?
That'll go over really well, Jerry.
That's funny.
That'll go over really, really well. If you go to Clark Howard's website,
that's what you do. I thought you were multitasking. It looked like Pat was typing a text to somebody as you're answering a question. I'm thinking, I am really impressed with this guy.
If you go to Clark Howard's website, Clark Howard, and he's kind of consumer advocate show. I actually I listen to his show occasionally. His investment advice is mediocre at best, but is in terms of
is he
credit,
on a sister Chase's a sister?
He used to be, but not anymore.
Okay, so now you can speak freely.
He used to be, but he's not anymore. But go to Clark Howard's website and type in Clark Howard credit freeze, and it will actually walk you through how to credit freeze and thaw. They call it the credit freeze.
And can you just give us the little high level thing here, Pat?
You contact Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and it's all done online, and you freeze all three of those, and those are the main credit reporting agencies. We have frozen both mine and my children's credit.
You did?
Yeah.
So you have to go to all three individually.
Now, that's according to here, but I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing that someone has created a website that actually you put the information in once and that it actually goes to all three and you probably just click buttons. So if you Google, I would start at the Clark Howard website for credit freeze.
How does that, only thing we use ours for is regular monthly payments and then we pay it off at the end of that 30 days.
This is for new credit,
right? It's for new credit. So what happens is if someone goes down to the Macy's, and opens up a credit card in your name, Macy's will, whoever they're using, will actually go and check your credit, and it will say, hey, this is frozen. We're not going to tell you what it is. In order for them to issue that card, you have to unfreeze it. They will issue that card, and then it is frozen again.
Oh, and that's CLARKHOWARD?
Correct, Clark Howard.
Okay,
and if you just Google Clark Howard credit freeze, it will bring you right to the same page.
Okay. All right.
All right, Jerry. Hey, wish you well.
Appreciate
the call. Glad you called the program. And I learned something new today. That's how you do that.
Yeah, it was. My wife said it was pretty easy. I did ask her.
I've been getting many calls this week from the IRS.
Really?
Well, they're not the IRS.
Have you really? You've gotten calls?
Yes, I've gotten. They've gotten through only one time. But they continue to try calling my cell phone. And one, it's an automated, she's from the Internal Revenue Service, and she makes it sound like I'm in deep trouble for tax fraud. I need to call immediately.
They want you to call back.
Yeah, either you call or have your criminal attorney call.
Really?
Yeah.
Because everyone's got a criminal attorney.
Of course, that's what I thought. I'm like, I don't have a criminal attorney.
I'll get that and a prepaid bail bond.
And then I talked to someone else. He tried to tell me he was with the IRS. I said, you're not with the, I was all mad at those. You kind of yelled at the guy. I thought, you got to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, and that stopped the criminal. You shamed him into
He's trying to keep me on the line. And he starts giving me my address. I thought, oh, oh, you know my address. Well, clearly you are with the IRS. I mean, it's like,
and what did he want you to do? Obviously send you money.
Yes.
And money.
But I read an article about 2 weeks ago about how these are on the increase.
If there was anyone's identity I wanted to steal, it wouldn't be the IRS.
I told him to call my accountant. He asked for who the accountant was. I said, you're the IRS. It's on my tax return. It's been there every year. Go look at my tax return.
And what'd he say?
Well, he had another answer or something. Obviously, he was scamming.
He needs
to be warned, though, by the way. The IRS will start by sending you a letter.
Yes.
They don't have a call center making cold calls trying to get a hold of people.
They send you a letter.
They send a letter.
And the letter says, hey, contact us.
Yes, that's how it works. Just like if you were the head all that power of the IRS, you wouldn't have to hire people to make phone calls hoping you get a hold of somebody.
You certainly wouldn't ask someone to let their criminal defense attorney.
And you wouldn't have a from overseas with someone from a strong accent that maybe from India, perhaps.
Named Ryan.
Ryan Smith. with a half a second delay.
Yeah.
Where you can hear a lot of Indian voices in the background.
Where are you located, Ryan Smith? We're centrally located.
I had a cold call once. Hello, Mr. Hansen. This is Jeff. I'm calling from San Diego regarding your mortgage. I'm like, you're not from San Diego. You're not Jeff.
What did
he say? We're going to start the relationship with a lie, it's not going to go very far.
What did he say?
He hung up. Not that I mean, I'm just... sometimes I do business with some of these call centers and I have great people. I'm not knocking the call center obviously. If you're going to try pretending you're the IRS, hire people that sound like they might have lived in the States for a couple
years. Are you counseling the criminals? Is that what you're doing
They're not listening to this program. They're busy calling more people right now. They're working hard. It's not easy being an IRS criminal. Anyway, we better take this call from Craig. Craig, you're with Hansen McLean.
Oh, man, I'm not sure if you guys are comedians or financial planners.
Well, listen, we're better financial planners than we are comedians. There is no question.
You guys are, at least you're entertaining.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We know this topic can be painful for a lot of people, quite frankly.
Yeah, and we do it every day. We know how painful it is.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure the horror stories you hear, you guys are scratched. Well, I know one of you guys is balding, and I can see why.
There we go. Thank you. Do you have a question for us, Craig?
I do. I want to know if I should make my next payment on my life insurance policy or not.
Oh, tell us about it. Tell us. So let's answer a couple questions. One, how old are you?
68.
And how old is the policy?
Oh, it's a 10-year fixed term policy.
Okay.
It's either in its third or fourth year.
And why do you have the policy? Why did you purchase it the first time?
Because I purchased it to replace potential lost income should I expire early.
And is that need still in place now? Do you still work? Is there a place or a pension that would be decreased? If you were to pass away? Do you have a joint and survivor on a pension? Do you still work?
I still work for the state of California.
You do? Okay. And are you married?
Yes.
And how big is the life insurance policy?
It's for $1 million.
That's a big life insurance policy.
Yeah. And how much longer do you plan on working?
I'm worth every penny of it.
Okay. How much longer do you plan on working?
I plan on working another year and a half.
And what's your income?
Combined or
just yours?
My own.
Just yours.
Mine.
Yeah.
About $150,000.
If you died today, what would happen to your pension? Would your spouse get the survivor benefit?
She'd get the survivor benefit.
The 50% benefit?
Yeah.
Well, that hasn't been declared yet because I'm not retired.
That's what I understand.
I have to declare what I'm going to, the state gives you like six options on survivor benefit and all this other stuff.
My question, Craig, is if you died before you retired, what's the default option?
And I believe the default option is 45% of what a normal pension would be.
But so I don't know.
Something like that. So
okay, well, let's just, for the sake of argument, then let's just say it's 50%.
Okay, then you need that life insurance policy.
Well,
wait a minute, you're not done yet, though.
You answer the question.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the battery is going down.
Oh, got it.
Okay, so here's the other part of the equation, which is you didn't ask me how much money do I have. And can I retire today if I wanted to?
So the question that we asked is, do you need to replace income? Right?
Well, no.
And that's what life insurance is for. Life insurance is to replace income.
To replace lost income.
Correct. What are you worth? How much money do you have in cash, 401ks, 457s, 403bs, both you and your spouse?
$3 million.
And so why do you have $1 million in life insurance as opposed to zero or 500,000 or 2 million?
Well, that's why I'm calling, I'm not speaking of you, but I'm saying there are hawkers out there that are selling life insurance policy and telling you how badly you need it.
So
and I got hooked.
Got it, Craig. And I assume you have no
reeled in the catch.
You have no debt.
I would not. If I were in your situation,
I wouldn't buy
it. I would not own the life insurance.
I wouldn't own it.
I would not pay another premium.
Do you have a lot of debt? What is your debt like?
Zero.
Yeah, you don't have
any
need
for it. There's no estate tax issues.
You have no need for this.
No, I don't.
Your wife's life would go on.
If you had some health issue, okay, that you had high confidence. It's something that's creeped up the last couple of years since you bought this, that you had high confidence that you would not last another 6 or 7 years, because this is only a 10-year level term policy. It's not
You could convert it to a permanent policy. Most of them have a conversion principle portion on it. So do you have any health issues that have come about since the purchase of this policy?
No.
Yeah, then I would not.
You
know,
in the first place.
I would just not pay the premium, let it go into the lapse.
Yeah, but portion. So you know now, Craig, you should not have purchased it in the first place.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm going, why did they even buy this in the first place?
Yeah, you don't have any need for it. What life insurance is designed to do?
The person who's, it's the oldest profession in the world, apparently.
So we called him a hawker, not a hooker.
I understand that.
Hawker.
Okay, I can't listen to both of you. Both of you are talking and laughing at the same time, okay?
Oh, got it. So he called it. Scott said it was the oldest profession,
yeah,
is life insurance.
Life insurance selling.
So, Craig? Life insurance is designed to replace income that would not otherwise be replaced in case of death. And you never had an issue with that. If your net worth is $3 million and you have no debt, and assume that there's a 50% pension that is payable to your spouse at your death, you don't need this. You don't need
That's
this.
What I thought.
Yeah.
You don't need this. All right, we appreciate
Great
the call.
Half.
Thank you. Thanks.
I just saved $4,600 this year.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot of money. Thanks for your time.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a good one, Greg. Appreciate the most interesting call. We have time for... Actually, when we come back, we're going to talk about some things before April 15th, some tax tips. I also have got an interesting story on life insurance that we'll talk about right when we come back. 921-1530 is the number. You're listening to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain. Having a great old time.
I think we are. Now I was going to bring up the story, and now it's going to be depressing. It was in this week's Investment News, which is a publication people in our industry subscribe to, Investment News.
And some read.
And it's a story, I'm not going to bother mentioning the name of the company because it's kind of irrelevant. There was an investment advisory firm where one of the principals had set up some sort of a side fund for friends and family. Not the typical kind of relationship where usually when you hire an advisor, whether it's Hanson McClain or somebody else, you have an account at a third party, independent third party, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, whatever, right? That's the type of thing we do for our clients. Independent, that's where the money's held. In your own account, the advisor can only make transactions in the account, cannot add to or take money out, and is restricted based upon what they can invest in. He had some sort of a side fund, $10 million of friends and family. And I don't know why the firm allowed him to kind of go.
Did they know about it?
Apparently they knew about it. Well, he had made some bad trades. So a little over 2 years ago, he takes out a $10 million life insurance policy on himself.
I didn't read this article.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know his partner.
Yeah, I know. Takes out a $10 million life insurance policy. And because that was about $10 million of losses in this thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Waits 2 years for the contestability period to be over and commits suicide.
And makes the beneficiary that particular
That's exactly it. The
account.
Fund. Correct.
Holy smokes. This poor guy, He didn't have any larceny in his heart. He just made some really bad choices.
It's so that people are saying, they think, well, what I'd read is someone had called it making the ultimate sacrifice to make his investors whole. I think most of his friends and family would probably rather have him around. But
that's awful.
I know, it's awful.
But he was a relatively achieved. I mean, he had a decent business. I thought he was worth a lot of money.
I don't know if he was worth $10 million. That's a lot of money.
And if he had actually come clean, he would have ended up going to jail and had no chance of actually paying anyone back.
I don't know the whole story behind that. Might have been the
That's awful.
He waited the 2 years. They figure he took the life insurance policy out for this reason
because
he knew $10 million in losses. He figured if I can't make up the losses, he probably figured if I can't. I mean, if Bernie Madoff would have done it, for example, figure if I can't make up the losses, if I have enough life insurance policy, rather than going to prison or whatever, I'll just end it all, and my investors are made whole.
Wow.
Yeah, so. Anyway, we're going to talk about some things to do prior to tax time, April 15th. Tax time is April 15th, and once April 15th is gone, no more time to do your income tax filing. And there are some things that can be done by April 15th that, if they can be done, they should be considered.
Yeah, pretty easy.
Yeah. And I don't know what percentage of people have done their taxes by now. People who tend to have...
the more complicated...
It always gets deferred. And the more complicated goes on extension.
Yes.
But there are some things that April 15th is still the deadline. And one of those is an IRA contribution. Now, it's the April 4th, 5th weekend, so there's still time to do some of the stuff down here. You can contribute to an IRA up until April 15th for 2014. After April 15th, you can only contribute for 2015.
So you need to make the contribution now for the year 2014.
Now, if you are one of those that would like to contribute to a Roth IRA, but your income is such...
And what is the income cutoff?
170-something like that. If you're married, 170. If you're single, 105. It's a phase, and it changes every year. And I don't know the number.
You could look up the code.
Yeah. You know if you're in a situation where you want to and you cannot contribute
to it. Yeah, go to Bing and type in contribution levels.
Bing it?
Mm-hmm.
No one uses Bing.
That's what I'm trying to encourage, the use of Bing. You don't want monopolies.
To help Microsoft more?
No. Yes, correct. You don't want monopolies to exist in any form of a capitalist society.
You're going to now start looking for whatever dominant company there is in the industry, promote the underdog.
Correct. Doing my little part to keep capitalism alive.
Good. But it could make returns lower on the dominant companies. It would make returns lower.
I know, but if we...
Anyway, if you contribute...
Are you tired of the subject?
Yeah, correct. I am. Yes. You can contribute to a traditional non-deductible IRA as long as you're working and have that much income. You can contribute to a non-deductible IRA. Once it's there, you can convert to a Roth IRA.
Regardless of your income. You can make $1 million a year and do this.
It doesn't matter. As large as your income, as long as you have income, you can contribute to a non-deductible IRA. Unfortunately, if you have a spouse that does not work, you cannot do it for the spouse, but you can do it for the working person in a marriage. And if, of course, you're single and you have income, you can contribute. When you convert that non-deductible IRA to an IRA.
To a Roth IRA.
Sorry, to the Roth. It may or may not be a taxable event. If you have no other IRAs, it's a non-taxable event to you.
So let me I'll share a little financial planning tip that I did with a couple this week. His employer had changed. He had rolled his 401k out, was bought by a new company. He was managing it, we were managing it in an IRA. It made sense for them to make a non-deductible IRA contribution.
They could not contribute to a...
So what I did was take those IRAs and roll them back into a 401k.
She took his IRAs, put it in a 401k, so now he no longer has any IRAs.
And then we make the non-deductible IRA contributions and convert to a Roth.
Well, you can make the non-deductible IRA contributions today, but you can't do the Roth conversion.
Because it takes place on a pro rata basis, and the tax liability would have been too large.
Did this for both husband and wife?
Mm-hmm. That was my recommendation.
So now there's $22,000 that you can fund, put into a Roth IRA in the next 30 days that you would not have otherwise.
And they're 10 years away from retirement. So that's a substantial amount of money that they can continue to save on a tax favorable basis towards their retirement.
April 15th is the cutoff for making a contribution for 2015. Now, if you are self-employed.
Now, but remember, if you're going to do this, if you're going to convert from an IRA to a Roth IRA, if you've got deductible dollars in an IRA, it's pro rata.
Which means that if you've got, let's say you have $20,000 sitting in an IRA and you just contributed $5,000 to a non-deductible IRA. So now you have $25,000 and you say, I'm going to convert that $5,000. They're going to say, nah, you converted five of 25. They add all your IRAs together.
And so only 20% of the amount would be non-taxable and the rest would be taxable. So the point of this conversation, since it's hard to track, is don't do this alone. You need some professional counsel in order to do it correctly.
Yeah, and if you have been precluded from making a Roth contribution, and we're not saying that you necessarily should do this. Just
we
you
do
can.
It. Yeah, you do it.
Yeah, I understand, but not everybody needs to. If you're listening to things, oh my gosh, I've never made a non-deductible IRA contribution. It may or may not make sense.
But
for
it
you.
Certainly makes sense going through the practice of looking to see whether it makes sense.
That is absolutely correct. And April 15th is the last time you can do that for 2014. 14. Also, if you are self-employed, you can contribute to a SEP IRA, not just April 15th, but if you file an extension, you've got until the time that you file your income taxes, which you can push as long as October 15th. Not only SEP IRA contributions, also KEO or profit sharing contributions. I've sometimes have seen people who will do an extension for the sole purpose of accumulating enough dollars to contribute to their retirement.
And remember,
plan.
A SEP contribution may or may not make sense depending upon the number of employees you have, how long they have been with you, and what their income is.
Are you saying that they wouldn't want to necessarily include all their employees?
Well, they may have to.
Yes, of course they might have to. So you're saying, and if, by the way, a solo
just another K, just another piece of discrimination in a country that is so against every form of discrimination except for a pension law.
Well, they're discriminating against the fat cats, the one percenters, the business owners.
The business owners aren't necessarily fat cats. They're just
the
business
small,
owners.
Most small business owners are not fat cats. They work an awful long time and. Minimum for there's no minimum wage either for self-employed people.
I'm going to start a anti-discriminatory movement.
You know, real quick here. Those are the couple things we wanted to cover on that. My son, we have a discussion about increasing.
Your liberal son?
Yeah, which is good. I love him. And I agree with him on something.
That's good. That's nice that you love your son.
So, but he was telling me why the minimum wage needs to be increased. And he was giving me all the arguments for that. And
he's 17?
Yeah. He doesn't have a job right now. And he had his car washed at the car wash 2 days prior. And I asked him, I said, son, did you, because I tell him, if you go to the car wash, you've got to tip those people.
And when you stay in a hotel, you tip the house cleaner.
I said, did you leave a tip? And he looks at me, I forgot, which I'm thinking, I think you're giving me, I don't know if you forgot or not. You chose not to. And I said, oh, isn't that convenient? Here are these immigrants that are making next to nothing, trying to put food on the table. You've got an option to give them money out of your pocket to help them for work that they just done for you, and yet you don't want to participate in that, but you want to
and what did
impose,
he
say? He just looked at me. I said, you're not driving my car to the car wash without giving a tip next time. Just that's the right thing to do.
That's nice of you.
Anyway, we're out of time. The music means we're out of time. We're way out of time. Hey, visit moneymatters.com if you haven't in a while. You can sign up for these podcasts. We've got great information on that website as well. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.